Times were tough, so I sold my soul. And I don't think I'll ever regain control. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Heroic Play podcast. This week, or this episode, we are going to be talking about the Butcher's Guild in our Guide to the Guilds. However, this episode is probably going to be a little bit more explicit than our usual ones, as we've got a new guest. We've got our friend Russell. Introduce yourself, Russell.
Hello.
Wow, that was...
Ladies and gentlemen,
listen, we have Russell on the line, who is currently, according to the Black Orifice, the fifth best Butcher's player in the whole world. Like, that's the whole world of people, and Russell is the fifth best Butcher's player. Well done, Russell. Round of applause. And he's here to talk to Butchers with us. How excited are you? What happens when you what?
Just beat new kids on the block.
When you're new to Dumbledore long, yeah, that's how you get it. So, yeah, there you go. I'll introduce Russell, because Russell can't introduce himself, apparently.
He's a bit of a retard.
Okay. Well, that's true.
Good. The tone of today has started already.
Yeah.
I'm back. So I hope you all enjoyed the Brewers episode. It was very exciting. It was very good, gentlemen. Well done. Sorry for being away. Family things happened and needed my full attention for an evening. So apologies for that. But here we are. So as Mark's rightly said, we are on to Butchers tonight. Guild number 3, alphabetical order. There's another podcast that's doing that, surprisingly. Don't know if anyone's heard that.
No, there's no way as good as this.
Who is it? I can't remember. No, there's some
amateurs.
Oh, fuck them guys. We started it ages ago. We're just slow at getting stuff out.
Yeah. Left is amateur. Good. Okay. So, Butchers, and we're going to use our normal format. So we've got some stuff we're going to work through, and the same we have the other guilds. We'll see how we get on. So we start off with the kind of bit of background about the guild. Who are they? What do they do? What's cool about them? Why are they rubbish? Andy, go, Butchers.
Right, the Butchers are as they... as they say, the Butcher's Guild, and they do exactly that. When you read, like, the Season 1 fluff, you know, it starts pretty much with Ox cutting Corsair's leg off. So if you're wondering why Corsair, as a captain, has a peg leg, that's because Ox chopped his leg off. Superb. And then it goes through more murdering, until Snakeskin and Brisket have a fight, and Snakeskin properly stabs up Brisket. At that point, you kind of see the evolution of Brisket to veteran Brisket, where she's a little bit meaner, a little bit tougher. You've got, in the background, you've got Boiler, who's like the apprentice, you know, like Ox's apprentice, and he's, you know, a kid, but an absolute murderer at heart.
Do we reckon he's got a hard on for Brisket?
Oh, totally. He's totally checking
and
around.
And the dog.
Yeah. Definitely he's like, he's. I reckon he's definitely, right, that kid that sits in RE, looking at your RE teacher, right, you know, the substitute teacher who's a bit hot, right, going, oh, I fucking fancy her. Right, yeah, definitely. He's that kid. Fucking,
you knew him really well.
He's got pictures of Brisket in his, anyway, never mind. Right. Yeah. Right,
it's probably worth mentioning that none of the Butchers are really butchers.
Yeah, they're just
as far as we can tell.
Yeah,
like just Ox murdering bastards. Used to be a mercenary.
Yeah,
like Shank is some just... sort of horrible skanky murderer.
Yeah,
mercenary coward guy. Like none of them are really like traditional butchers. The Butchers Guild is more of a moniker, I suppose, that they've earned through their playstyle and their savagery rather than... they represent the Butchers as a whole, but I don't think any of them could really be called Butchers.
Yeah. None of them can make a sausage.
So, Probably not, no.
I mean, the thing with Season 1 was that Brisket was supposed to be kind of like the odd one out. And then, although she was still a thing, she was like the football player.
Yeah.
Right, you know, so... And everybody else is just like, you know, proper murderers. Like, Shank is just a fucking maniac, as is Boar. You know, and then you've got Team Pug. You know, you've got like Princess, Roaming Terror, Bulldog. You know, and it's, you know, and it even says like nobody knows where she comes from, right? You know, she's just there and she just hurts people. You know, and that's great. And then you get into season two, you know, you get Tenderizer turn up with Fillet, you know, and Fillet ends up having, like, you know, a lesbian affair with Meat Hook, which is great, right? You know, for all the nerds out there, right? And then you've got, you know, and yeah, then obviously you've got Veteran Brisket, who's, you know, a slightly different kettle of fish to Norma. She's a bit harder, a little bit more hard hitting. And then around SteamCon, leading up to SteamCon last year, you had the Butcher's Civil War. You know, at the end of season one, Ox gets kidnapped by what we now know is the Silethian Church, or gets slammed in prison. And Brisket goes through a series of motions to get allies involved so that she can, we think, overthrow Fillet. But then we find out that actually she's doing it for the Silethian Church, a.k.a. the Union, which is how you end up with seasoned Brisket. And there's a nice bit in the season three fluff where you've got Ox, the newly freed Ox, you know, sort of talking to Brisket and saying, like, you know, I'll remember what you've done. And saying, yeah. Well, even though essentially she's now been kicked out of the Butcher's Guild, she's ostracized from the guild. And saying, yeah. So in terms of fluff, I think the Butchers are probably the guild most rich in fluff. I would say
it's the best story. They've got the best story.
Yeah, they have got the best story.
Yeah, I think that because they're one of the, like, the main archetypal guilds. Like, you've got the Butchers at the extreme end of the melee, and the Fish at the extreme end of the football. And also, they were the two original, like, the very, very first concepts that Matt and Rich came up with. They're the sort of the premier guilds, really, I suppose.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
In a way of looking at it, is probably that.
Yeah, it's a great story, all story. Do we think, it's interesting, do you think that the Silethian Church kidnapped Ox on purpose to use as a blackmail to get Brisket to be the captain of their team?
Yeah, because at the end of season one, it kind of intimates the, like, you know, there's some sort of fight. And everybody, you know, I certainly made the assumption, I don't know if you guys did, I know Russell doesn't give a flying toss about about the fluff.
You're too busy. I'm sorry, Sherwin.
I know some of the fluff, not much, but not, yeah, yeah. Team Pug all the way.
Yeah, Team Pug all the way. Right, so but you know, I thought, oh man, they've killed off Ox. You know, I mean, like, you know, these bunch of paladins have killed off Ox. Then it turns out, actually, no, they didn't. So yeah, I think that's an interesting point. Is it a thing? I don't know. We'll have to wait until we see Sherwin again, and then, you know,
quiz him
about it. But for let's be honest about it, what has it been, 3 years now, and we still don't know where fucking Blackheart's ship is. So what fucking chance have we got?
Cool. Yeah, right. I think so. And they're interesting. They I think all of the guilds do it to a point, but they certainly seem to, I get the impression there's quite a lot of, like, apprentices, like, young, they're training people from a very young age, aren't they, to be murderers and killers on the pitch.
Yeah, Ox drills and people really hard in the in the season one fluff, you know.
Yeah. I kind of have this image of this kind of, like, camp where they all live together, don't they? And, good.
That's good.
The only bit of fluff I know about the Butchers is that they have the highest mortality rate for their, like, training camp, which is, well, you'd thought so as well, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Good. Good addition. Like it. Okay, cool. So that's the Butchers. Yeah, I think probably the most, and if you could add up the words, they probably have the most stories, don't they? With the Civil War and stuff, and well, they should, because they're the coolest guild out there. So that's good. Okay, thanks, Andy. Mark, in general, what's the play style of the Butchers team in the actual game?
Fighting, punching people really hard, and scoring some goals when the opportunity presents itself. Basically, I think, without meaning to just go fighting, they are pretty much about just punching people in the face and taking players off the pitch that way. But they, you know, they've got players that are very, very capable of scoring goals now. So they, you know, what you probably see is a 6-0, 4-1, and to some degree you'll see them playing for 2-2, but probably 4-1's where they're more comfortable with.
Yeah. Russ, as the man who wins lots of things with Butchers, your play style?
To be fair, it is just about the killing. Like, you can get a goal with like brisket, but I don't know the last time I took brisket, to be fair, really.
I use
normal brisket just to get rid of like gluttonous mass.
Don't hang on. You can do your team selection in a minute. But yeah, okay. So yeah, good. Oh, that's interesting. But yeah, so you're heading at 6 takeouts, maybe a goal if you like.
Always 6 takeouts, and then if you can get a goal, throw it in, but don't bank on it.
Nice, cool. That's come from the 5th best butcher player in the world. Excellent.
I hope you're making notes.
I'm honestly going to listen to this a lot. Okay, good. Fabulous. So next phase then is that kind of, you led us in here, Russell, already, which is great. So tournament 10, and why tournament 10? Russell, would you make a start then? So who are your 10?
Always Philip. I wouldn't leave her without a Philip. I'm trying, who I usually take is Philip, Princess, Boar, Boiler, Meetuk, Vetox, Shank, Harry the Hat, a Tenderizer, and then probably Ox now. So I want to try Ox.
Okay. So Philip always, Princess always, Boar makes sense, Boiler, Shank, Meetuk, did you say?
Yeah, Meat Hook is what you need, because her and Boiler pop out the bleeding wherever you need it, which is great for then just to throw in Fillet. Especially if Meat Hook's like hooked as well.
So, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Who am I missing? Did you say Brisket?
Yeah, Brisket.
Brisket, and then Harry the Hat. That's 10. Yeah. Lovely. Good. Okay. I'm just getting them out in front of me so we can just talk through. So you said you're going to try Ox. Does that mean that recently you've been concentrating mainly on Philip?
Well, to be fair, so I was at a tournament at the weekend and some guy went 3-1 with Ox. Just made me want to try Ox again. Just go back to pure killing.
Okay, cool. Princess, not Truffles?
I do like Truffles. But the problem I've got with Truffles is Princess is just so good, especially with Boiler. Making that kid attack 7 and the amount of buffs she can get. Momentous 3 damage on 2. It's beautiful. And she's got Beloved Creature, so she can put the ball on her, put her in cover, and just watch someone cry.
Yeah.
I was playing Dave with his union.
Yeah.
6-stack Blackheart went up against the Pug to try and win in the game. Couldn't get any hits to get the ball.
Interesting.
Yeah, Dave was very, very sad.
I was very happy.
Yeah, I know.
Team Pugger.
Also, so from Princess over Truffles, Princess is Def 4, Armour 1, whereas the Pig is Def 3, Armour 0. So that makes a huge difference in terms of when somebody's attacking them, what they will do.
Yeah.
Just having that point of armor makes such a difference.
Yeah.
Like if they were both armor 0, the difference between 3 and 4 isn't that huge, but I think it's the fact of going from 3-0 to 4-1. All right, yeah, the Pig has got sturdy and tough hide, but effectively if your opponent's attacking a mascot, they're probably like going for momentum. And then in that scenario, the Pig generates momentum quite easily. And because it's that much harder to kill, they'll get that much more momentum out of it.
Mm. That makes sense.
Yeah, I think with Truffles really has one special move for me. And that is charging on 1 against humans.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And having momentous knockdown on 2.
Yeah, there you go.
Right?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, putting one on Truffles, right, gives her a 7-inch like threat range. 6 for the charge, 1 for the melee zone, right? You know, okay, it's tack 7, but honestly, you know, you're looking for 2 successes. So, you know, a momentous knockdown. And really, when you're talking about momentous knockdowns in the Butchers, right, there ain't a lot of it going around. You know, you know, like, you've got Tenderizer with a momentous three and a knockdown on five. It's like, you know, and then pretty much, you know, everything else is non-momentous.
Oinda's got it.
Yeah, I know, but it's on. It's non-momentous, isn't it?
Not momentous, but it's yeah. a nice...
Exactly. Legal. You know, Boar's got it on three, you know, non-momentous. Right, you know, Vet Ox has got it on four, non-momentous again. Right, you know, so you've got a lot of non-momentous knockdowns, right, you know, on yeah. anything, but... For momentous knockdowns, you've got two options, and that's Tenderizer on five or the pig on two. And I think the pig, if you've got the pig, like, back, you know, kind of back near your goal, you know, hanging around with Ox and this, that, and the other, that, you know, theoretically, you could give him that point of armor with Tough Hide, you know, sorry, with whatever it is that Ox does. Thanks.
Tough skin.
Thank you very much. Tough skin, right? But it's a lot to spend on thing. Whereas Princess just does what you want her to.
Yeah, and considering that Tough Skin is once per turn, it's much better put on somebody like Brisket.
Oh yeah.
And making her like 5-2 versus half the field or something silly like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, there's a lot of better choices than making your shit mascot better.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or making him still shit, but slightly less shit.
Yeah. I'm trying to be devil's advocate, but it's not really working.
I like truffles. Yeah. I like truffles for vindictive... To be fair, don't listen to me because I'm shit, right? But I like truffles for vindictive human. It's so, so powerful, particularly if you can get something like Women Back on there as well. Don't stick anything on him. No one expects anything. Charge him for free when he's in the edge pitch. And the point around the knockdown is just absolutely massive, because you're right. A, knockdowns aren't exactly everywhere in the Butcher's team anyway, but momentous knockdown is a real thing. I knocked down Hoist on Parting Blow the other weekend, bonus times and all sorts of fun, but it was absolutely crucial.
Fair. Right, that's enough talk of the mascot choice.
Okay. So, yeah, good point. Okay, so Meat Hook, because Meat Hook, right, I guess, Russ?
She's so good. She's got Hook. Yeah. The fact you can do on one hit... Against someone who's not got Tough Hide, momentous one damage, Hooked, which is minus one defense, and bleeding.
Yeah.
So then she sets herself up to do better next turn, because obviously she does plus one damage against bleeding models.
Yeah.
And minus one defense.
And now suddenly they've become a fillet attraction as well, don't they? And
Yeah, they do. And, you know, it means that she's doing three damage on three successes with attack six, which is pretty reliable and pretty unpleasant for anybody that she's hurting.
She's pretty mobile, too. She's
6'8". So. Yeah, pretty quick. And she goes further if she charges somebody who's bleeding as well. She gets a 10-inch charge, so she'll have an 11-inch threat with against a bleeding model.
With her crazy lesbian hands. Lesbian hands. Yeah. Like Meat Hook. It's good.
People failed to mention that, like, Butchers are a great ball denial team because the tackle is on two, I think, on most models, it's four.
Yeah.
And people forget about it. I've had people leave, like, do a disengaging strike because they know you don't have a knockdown. Don't think you've got a tackle so low. And, like, on Felix, she's got a momentous tackle on one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the dog's got a momentous tackle on one.
The dog's got it. The dog's got... I don't think the pig's got one, but,
The pig's got one, but it's
tackle on three and it's non-momentous.
Yeah.
It's why, like, normal Brisket over a veteran Brisket. It's the tackles are just amazing in this team.
Yeah.
So, I'm about to get to the point, Russ. So, you've chosen original Brisket over veteran Brisket because...
There are people out there who are better than me that all I swear by veteran Brisket, and that's because she scores first turn, gets you two extra influence for you the rest of the game.
Yeah.
But I'm just not smart enough to use her like that. I don't know what they're doing because I put the ball on her and she just dies. Whereas normal Brisket, she's a 5-1 model against males.
Yeah.
Just put like Shark and like Midas, can't stand her because you punk her in cover with the ball and she sits there with basically a 5-2 model, unpredictable against anyone. There, she's just annoying.
Yeah. Unpredictable movement is just a delight. Holding 5-1 is a delight. Like you say, cover so the minus the dice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Joyous. Brisket's my team.
I've got 30 knives as well. So in this
exactly.
Team, there's quite a few ways to put people's defence down. Like, you've got shank with fowls and cuts, but then, like, back with on brisket, she's got dirty knives. So you can do it from afar.
Yeah.
And if you want to set up, like, a cheeky fillet charge into, like, compound or esters, mm-hmm. you just do a dirty knives on that. You're probably going to get it. Because, yeah, it ignores your gluttonous mass. And then fillet can just go in and beat the shit out of someone.
Yeah.
I like fillet beating the shit out of people.
Yep. It is powerful. Also, Super Shot is brilliant because it amazing. Does mean you can just give Brisket her two influence every turn and she can contribute. Either you can get the ball to her and she can sprint and shoot, or she can jog 6 inches and dirty knives somebody 6 inches away.
Yep.
Yeah. You can do dirty knives. Yeah.
So she's got that 12-inch threat of dirty knives, which when the scrum's kind of begun, it means mm-hmm. Brisket can be wherever you want her to be to throw in that dirty knives, basically.
Yeah, because the thing with Shank is, you know, in 1,000 cuts, he procs it on five successes, and it has got a 6-inch range, but it's three influence to chuck out, you know, and three influence on Shank. Now that he's 2-3, of which I'm a little sad about, I'm not going to lie. But, I think everyone's a bit sad about that. But, you know... Russell mentioned it, the guy at the Bravo 1 Cafe Blitz the other weekend. His name was Keith. And Keith was talking...
Hi, Keith.
Keith Jevons, you are the man. You have made me fall in love with Ox once again.
Yeah, I'm going to go to a tournament, not take Philip and just take Ox.
Yeah.
Like, won't even be taken, just to see how Ox does.
Yeah. And he literally was like, so I take Boar and I put one on Boar. And, you know, I maybe put two on Ox, right? And then that means I can absolutely load up, right, Meat Hook and
Boiler.
Right, you know, and then I just go murdering. Like, you know, and one of the things which was interesting that he did was he talked about Tenderizer being a real key part of his team. Right. And the fact that what he has, you got the goal, right, and then he's got Tenderizer, let's say 4 inches, right, so that he's got his
goal defense and counter charge,
blah, blah, blah. And then he puts Ox somewhere around 2 to 3 inches in front of Tenderizer. Right. And the reason for that is, regardless then of where somebody stops to hit him, Tenderizer is likely to be going in and smashing them. And then he creates that kill field there. So you've got to come in there to do something. Once you're in there, he just murders them and then moves out. So, you know, it was an interesting tactic. You know, it saw him take, you know, like 3-1, right, at the weekend, you know, and people were genuinely surprised, like really, really surprised.
Yeah, I mean, Ox was always horrific when we first started playing, and realistically, he's not changed that hugely across the seasons. My only consideration is I don't think I'd want to play that close to my own goal.
Yeah.
I think that's my only consideration is, like, I can understand that, you know, putting Ox near Tenderizer so he's got that protection, because 3-1, he will get attacked and he is fairly easy to damage and do stuff from, and he's not really got, like, he's 3-1 with 19 boxes, so a concerted effort will take him down. But equally, I don't know who Keith played over the weekend, but I think if you were playing like on a Masons or, you know, probably Shark Fish or something like that into that Ox lineup, I wouldn't want to be playing that Ox lineup that close to the goal, because the fish will just use your players to jump to the goal, and I just don't think you'd kill them quick enough playing that close to your goal. But it worked for him, so, you know, whatever.
what do you know?
I don't think Butchers are a team that want to stay back. Like, I feel
they want to be.
You're definitely playing them wrong. Like, you don't really care if your goal's unprotected, because at the end of the day, if they score or something like that, you can get the ball back over to the front, just keep it in your front line. And if they've got two people at the back that are ready to snapshot, they're playing with only three players and a mascot. and you can just beat face on them with Fillet, and then just as soon as you've got up to 8 points, pop in that goal.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've chosen not to take Vet Ox though, Russ.
I've fallen out of love with Vet Ox recently.
Okay.
I don't think he does much for the team. So he brings in a bit of a vindictive male, which is great. Brings in one influence. Mm-hmm. Brings in a 2-inch melee. But besides I was using him to back up Fillet. How fast Fillet is.
Yeah.
After playing the three games on the weekend, Shank is the new spot for her because you can just throw him up. And with his threat range being 12 inches, what is his threat range?
14-ish.
You can bank him up with Fillet, and that's just a free extra attack. Whereas Vetox is great. He's easy to kill. Yes, he's got this whole, you know, lash out and never say die. But he's just so easy to shut down.
Yeah, just looking at... it's funny you should say that. Yeah, looking at Keith's games, right? He played 3 Masons and 1 Mortician.
What did he play, sorry?
He played 3 Masons and 1 Morticians. And the Morticians that beat him was Paul Sutton, who went on to get second.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah, Ox hates Puppet Master.
Oh, yeah.
Ox can't stand it. The amount I've played, I think it was the start of Series 3, I played a game with Ox. He activated his legendary, and then he just got Puppet Mastered away.
He doesn't like Lure or Seduced either, because they both tell him to fuck off as well. They make him really sad.
Well, Seduced just makes him punch his mate, doesn't it? You know, like...
Seduced is a pass or an attack, isn't it? Yeah, so it's Lure and Puppet
brings
Master.
Him forward. Yeah. Yeah, so...
Well, not... Know. No. It makes him take a jog directly towards the model. So if Siren sort of runs round behind him
and then
makes him jog away from where all his mates are about to start hurting your players, or equally Cosset does, you know, those fast players with Lure that can get round behind him and drag him back out of the fight.
Uh-huh. Anyway, let's talk about counter-tech in a bit. Good. So it's a good 10. I like the 10. It makes sense. It's completely different to the 10 I would. Well, not completely different, but different.
Why? What would you take for 10?
I would take Truffles.
Okay.
I like Truffles. I would take Vet Ox instead of Tenderizer.
I can see that.
Yeah.
And I would take Truffles. I don't know who I would...
You've said Truffles twice now, man.
I know. I was just going to say, I would take Truffles instead of Ox. I would go Fillet only captain, you see? Because I'm a... I'm Fillet's bitch.
She's strong at the moment, but she's got a glaring weaknesses, which are easy to, like...
Yeah, yeah.
She's super strong.
People kill her a lot.
She don't like counter-attacks.
No,
like, if you've got dodges on your counterattacks quite low or pushes, she cries.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because now that they've changed the way that Pain Circle works, she ain't got no way of dodging back in.
No, that's...
She's still a great captain. She's a captain. You want her to go last of your first turn, and then you want her to go first of your second turn to just mop up and whatever you can. You want to be killing at least 3 people, hopefully.
The moments when she really... When she clicks and she just goes mental, it's like a thing of beauty. You feel like you've got all the dice. Someone just gave you all the dice and went, roll these, have some fun with them, and watch, and just start.
Yeah, but you know what? I feel much better about Boiler doing that. Makes me much happier to see Boiler go crazy on someone, right? You know, than Fillet.
Yeah.
I understand why. I'm a Fillet bitch. I love Fillet. Yeah, she's fair.
I suppose it's quite easy to see why Boiler's in the team. He does bags of momentous damage, and he's got a playbook which has got literally everything on it.
Yeah.
Because he's got a retarded counter-attack of a push dodge on 3 successes.
Yeah, which has hurt people before.
Yeah, with anatomical precision, which makes his TAC 5, you know, makes him quite reliable to hit that. He's 4-1, he's got Swift Stance, which is massive. Like, that can be put on Fillet to make her Def 6, or can be put on, you know, other people to protect them quite well. Mark target's another good thing for, obviously, threat ranges, or getting rid of Gluttonous Mass as well.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
And Boar is Boar. Fuck, I love Boar.
Yeah, he's a really good sweeper, I think, for hanging in your back line and just killing somebody who's coming to score a goal.
Yeah, or if you can get him on, like, when you... Because, I do play Vet Ox and Fillet. If you can get those two in on a charge and then bring Boar in, it's just so much fun rolling, like... Again, rolling all the dice and doing like six momentous. I did two attacks, but rolled six momentous on both attacks because of four and wrapped to the second column. It's just that's fun. I like that a lot. I like wiping 12 off someone's playbook for zero influence.
I remember setting up Brick when Mark was playing him and wiping Brick off the table with Boar, right, from like one charge with his four attacks.
Yeah.
But that, it took a bit of setting up.
Yeah, it was pretty horrible though.
Yeah.
But when it happens, it's just a fucking...
Yeah, he's a freight train, basically.
Yeah.
Not many people get hit by freight trains, but when they do, they die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's actually fair, in the same way that lots of Furious models and all that kind of stuff are fairly easy to shut down. And, he's only 3-0 and, someone comes and knocks him down and he's 2-0 and he just becomes a momentum bank for somebody. I've had that a couple of times recently. Jason's just used him to farm momentum off.
I'm not a fan of him.
Sorry?
I'm not a fan of him.
Are you not?
I can't get my head around him, to be fair. I just don't know what spot he takes in my team, that's all.
Okay. Even though he's 10.
He's in my 10, but I don't think I've used him.
Okay.
I think my 6 has always been Philip, Harry, Princess, Boiler, Meter. Then either swapping out Vet Ox, Shank, or Brisket. I don't think he's seen the light of day. I think he's just sat there to look cool.
Yeah.
He's too easy to shut down, that's my problem.
Yeah. Makes sense. But he's just a lovely model.
And the
2-inch melee is a thing. I like 2-inch melees a lot.
Yeah, but slow, that's my problem. Guaranteed you can do a Furious for free.
Yeah.
But in the team, because you've got such an all-star captain, you want every bit of influence you can get. And because he's only bringing one, and yes, he won't even need one, he's not bringing that two if he's doing nothing. If he's just standing there like a twat, he still only brought you one influence to the whole of your game plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Good. Okay. That probably feels like enough chat about lineups and teams. Have we missed anybody important? Have we missed anything controversial? Don't think so. I think that's kind of... Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
No.
Is that good? Anything else? From anybody else?
No, I think we've covered most of them. We know they're pretty self-explanatory. They like punching people.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of good players. We've covered some of the choices of why you might not take other players. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. One last thing about Ox is he's got a push on one and a double push on three. So his counter-attack, if they don't knock him over, isn't that bad.
That's true. Yeah. Good shout.
There
seems to be a fair amount of... Pro-Ox chat at the minute. I'm hearing that quite a lot. So it'd be interesting to see how that plays out the rest of the season. We kind of have touched on this a little bit, but we've kind of said, so we've done, well, how would we play with the Butchers? How would you play against the Butchers? That's an interesting thought. Mark, do you want to start us off then with, if you were playing against them, what would you do? What do you do?
Don't feed Fillet a player every turn.
Don't do that. Do that. Yeah.
So effectively, kill her team, ignore her as much as possible.
Okay.
Like if you can keep her knocked down with a 2-inch melee player, brilliant.
Yeah.
But that's quite difficult. But realistically, the Butchers are on the whole quite glass hammery. So they hit really hard, but they can't take a fight very well. They don't like being punched. So if you can... Effectively, if you've got to kill players, if that's your play style, pick on people like Meat Hook, who is, sort of Death 4, Armour 1 with 14 boxes. Like, she'll die quite happily to, a Tapper or a Graves or somebody like that. They'll
Shank
kill
as
her.
Well.
Yeah, and Shank, while he's difficult to pin down, and because he's got 2-inch melee, and dodges on his playbook with his damage, he can be quite hard to pin down. But if you can kill him, he dies like a bitch.
14 health, death 4, no armor.
Yeah. Like, if you've got, like, a tapper or a mallet or, I don't know, a ghast, for example, somebody like that, they'll put him on his ass before he gets to counterattack and dodge away, and then they'll just beat him to death.
Yep.
And that'll make him really sad.
Bet Rage had fun with him last time I played.
I bet.
Bet Rage, Bet Rage shit on him.
Ideally, you want to... You want to score goals against them so that you're not having, so that you're speeding up the pace of the game, because you don't want to let them have the time to kill all of your players.
I feel with that though, you've got to be careful. Like, Butchers are a good team in a sense. You've got to be careful on how you counter them. I've played games where they've scored two rapid goals by turn two, and because they've spent so much influence scoring these goals, they've let you just get to the foot on them because you just take out players, kill the ball, and just get on top. You have to kill the ball, or you have to score as much as you can and not sacrifice any movement. So if you score like your second goal, but you don't know when your third goal is going to come up, or if you're relying on two lucky takeouts, I would just hold the ball back.
Yeah.
Butchers are a good team, but they can be, they, if you give them an opening, they will just wreck face.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to... If anything, you probably want to take an early goal, work on picking off the weaker people, and then maybe close it out with a goal. It's probably the way to do it against Butchers in an ideal world.
I would say if you look at a lot of the Butchers, right, they have very good synergies with each other, right?
Yeah.
So Meat Hook, for all of her damage and all the rest of it, right, you know, she puts the bleed condition on and hooked. Right, she can also bang out like something like Sanguine Pulse as well, right, which is phenomenal if you can get it off. Right, but those two things, just bleed and hooked, suddenly play into, you know, Fillet's hands, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, Fillet loves that. She's like, brilliant, let's go. Right, you know, and then you've got Boiler, of course, right, you know, with Princess and Ox. You know, he can suddenly be going absolutely nuts. Brisket, Dirty Knives, you know, Fillet buffs Vet Brisket, first turn goal, right, you know, or Shank, Thousand Cuts, Tenderizer, you know, like, all of these players have great synergies, and if you let that synergy, if you can disrupt that synergy, right, you know, so if you've got, like, Morticians, for example, you can move people around, Unexpected Arrival as well, you know, things like that, to move people around. Right,
that disrupts... involve you playing Bonesaw.
Yeah, I was sorry. Engineers using Colossus. Yeah, right. Yeah, but then again, you know, Paul Sutton, right, came second in the tournament. Right, he used Bonesaw a fair amount, and actually, he used him really effectively. I didn't understand it; it all looked a bit weird, to me. but he did. He did do it right.
Good.
I kind of disagree with ignoring Fillet.
Yeah.
Not ignoring it, to facing on Fillet, but like just putting your team on Fillet, because then you just waste the rest of your team while the rest of the Butchers just set up in such a way that even if you kill Fillet, they're just going to murder you.
Yeah, exactly, which is...
I played a game against a Brewers player, Fillet wrecked face for 2-3 turns, then he had his whole team setting up just to beat up Fillet, by which point the rest of the team was set up in such a way that they could score a goal or just get an easy takeout and win.
The only thing The only thing I have had with Fillet a couple of times recently is that she's been left at the end of turn two or turn three. She's been left on like one or two health, which is just such a pain in the arse.
But the thing about Fillet is, I went to a tournament a couple of months ago. I played Fish, and I think my second game was against an Ox Butchers guy, and I was playing Attritionman because I'm a meta gamer. And you just as soon as you start beating them up one at a time, they can't do anything with so much 2-inch melees and easy knockdowns. Butchers are terrified to make an attack, because you play an attack, they have to wither that counter, and if you push them out or knock them down, they will just shut down. They can't do anything.
Yeah,
yeah,
they're absolutely terrifying.
So one, I think Butchers are probably weaker against counter attacks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you've got strong counter-attack choices, the Butchers as a team on the whole are quite weak against that, I would
Completely
say.
Agree. Completely yeah. agree.
I think hunters do pretty well against them with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the majority of hunters have got good counter-attack choices.
Oh, yeah.
One of my regular opponents, Pete, his hunters, the amount of times I've just gone into combat, it's on like Jaeger or like Scaife, he's just gone, yeah, double dodge out. And you just sit over five stack, feel it, and just go, your turn, mate. Yeah. You look disappointed, he always looks smug at anything, and you're just like, oh, shit.
Yeah, no, completely. I was going to say, when I'm playing with them, the thing that worries me is when there's decent counters. It's just such a pain.
Yeah, now. I was just about to say, I'm just looking through the hunters. You got Chaska, push, double push on 1 and 2. Egret, yep. Dodge, double dodge on 1 and 2. Hearn, dodge, push, double push on 2 and 3, respectively. Vet Hearn, pushing a knockdown.
Yeah.
Jaeger, yep. All the dodges. Cena, yep. Push, knockdown. Ulfa, dodge.
It's all right, though, because
they can't anywhere. Where they go.
Yeah,
it's momentum, then.
Yeah. You know, so, yeah, you know, definitely struggle. Yeah. I think, yeah. Like, with the Butchers, right, it's about kind of, when I used to play them, it was about, like, picking on who was it described models as dead models once they'd activated? I can't remember. It was probably an Australian, right? But, you know, picking on that person that they've activated and then, you know, fucking wiping it, like setting it up, wiping them off the pitch, and then, right, you know, just moving on. And, yeah. If people come into that kill zone, right, and they've given you, like, Russell's hit the nail on the head, right, you know, if they give you the time to get their synergies off, right, then more for them. You know, yeah. I wiped the floor with Steve last night purely because, right, you know, he was, you know, his positioning was all off. So I could just dance around him. I just danced around him. And, you know,
positioning comes with more practice, though, and he is still new to the game.
Oh, he is
so.
A total noob. But, yeah, you know.
Good. Okay. Nice. Well, there's a fair number of things that you can do against Butchers. And I think the thing that I have learned as a Butchers player is if I'm not winning the momentum race, I'm not winning the game at all.
Yeah, you should always be at least full momentum ahead. If you've not killed at least someone by turn two, you're just being shit.
Yeah. Well, so thanks, Arash. I am regularly. Yeah. So basically what you're saying is get good, right?
Yeah, stop being shit and actually get good.
What's that, Trent Dillison? What?
But I think generally they rely on momentum. So if you could find a way of limiting their momentum haul, then that
Why
helps
is it
too.
And fear are amazing ways to get around it. But even then, don't rely on them. Somewhat like Hag, like you just walk up to them and you're like, oh, I'll pay two for the first one. Still going to beat the crap out of you. And then someone else is just going to finish the job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They are
a team that actually works pretty well together. Even though they've got some all-stars, they have such good synergies in between with Bleeding, Hooked and other stuff like that. They're a good team.
Yeah, good. Okay. And then that kind of leads us on to our sort of final question in our standard roster, which is, are the Butchers a good guild that you would suggest to a new player?
Yes.
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 100%.
Yeah. Because... So, before kickoff, they were the two teams that we demoed with as pundits at conventions. So, anybody who got into the game before kickoff probably had a demo with the original Butcher's starter set of Ox, Boiler and Brisket versus Shark, Siren and Angel. Mm-hmm. But realistically, if you've come from any sort of wargaming background in a similar way to what we said against Brewers, you know, if you've come in from any sort of wargame where it's about meeting in the middle and punching each other, the Butchers will do that.
Yep.
And they're probably better at it than anybody else. So you will feel like you're achieving stuff if all you're doing is walking forward and punching people.
Yeah.
Like you'll feel like you're the king of the world when you're doing that, when you're playing the Butchers, when you're doing it with either Ox or Fillet, depending on how you start playing the Butchers. Like the initial war game tactic of I attack you and I roll a load of dice, that works with Butchers.
Even when I'm losing a lot, I'm still generally having a good time.
Yeah.
And that's just true of life. But even with them, as opposed to some other teams, when I played Hunters, when you're losing a lot, it just feels painful and not any fun. At least with Butchers, you still quite often get to roll quite a lot of dice and you still get to stab someone and have some shenanigans. So for me, that would be why I would always say they're a great team for a new player, because even when you're losing, there's still a threat. There's still some fun to be had.
Yeah. I think they're a great team because they've got, my local pundit, Rob, said basically they've got a first layer of tactics. You look and you go, so they're just going to fight, don't really think much. You know, they punch people for a bit and that's it. And then you look a bit closer to them and they can do football really well. They can do ball denial really well. They've got a very interesting team. But as a starting team, I mean, if I can do well with them, so anyone can do well with them, because all you have to do is point and click.
That's not quite true, Russ. I'm still shit with them. But, I get your point.
They're great. You don't have to rely on the goals to win.
Yeah.
No.
Like other teams like Fish, where it's harder to... It's practically almost impossible, unless you play the Trishman, to beat someone to death. With Butchers, you're just walking in, you're going to beat the crap out of someone. And if there's a goal, you're going to take it. If not, who cares? You're going to beat up another two people anyway.
Yeah.
Cool. Good. So we agree. Good first team. And so, my point of view as the modeller, there's some really nice models too.
Yeah.
I don't know, the whole game's littered with nice models, but actually, you know, some great, good, well sculpted models and some fun stuff in there in terms of some of the stuff. So I think, you know, I still think the Vet Ox is one of my favourite things I've ever painted. Really enjoyed that. I've painted original Ox 3 times now, from the Kickstarter one, and then the other ones too. So, yeah, good models to paint.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Which is important when it's almost new, isn't it? You've got to find something that appeals. So that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I tell you what, right? So just a quick one though, right? I mean, like the Butchers are also quite a self-contained team, right? So you don't have to have any Union players in there, right?
Yeah.
They're quite self-contained. You don't have to mess around with, like, you know, thing. But, like, if you would, I think my choice would probably be either Harry or Avarice and Greed.
Yeah. I think both of those players bring relatively easy access to a knockdown.
Yeah.
Which we've, obviously, as we went through, the Butchers have got it, but it doesn't tend to be that easily accessible, whereas either Harry or Avarice and Greed both bring a knockdown on like two successes, I think it is.
I can agree that I understand why tactically both of those people are really good choices, although I'm still struggling a bit, Harry, although I'm just going to keep playing with him until I work it out. But I just generally, just for fun, I really like Minx.
I think Minx is great.
She's brilliant.
The competitiveness for in a Butcher's team.
Hmm.
She seems all right. Like, she seems great, but I don't think there was so much better options you can take, such as Harry.
I can understand why. I understand why, from a competitive point of view, I think you're absolutely right. I'm just going to make that clear, Ross. I think you're absolutely right. But I still pick Minx just because sometimes it's just really fun.
Oh, like, let's be honest. Oh. Yeah, let's be honest about it, right? Hitting five successes on a charge with Minx, right, is like... You know, he's brilliant. Rapping with Minx is brilliant, right? Because she goes Screaming Banshee, minus one defense, two damage. Right? Brilliant. Right? And, right, she slaps Snared on them as well. Right? Yep. You know, that's minus two defense. If Meat Hook's already been in there as well, oh my goodness.
It's her pace, because that's the thing with Fillet. I think I have found in the past is that sometimes Fillet is so quick that she can end up a bit isolated. Whereas Minx can absolutely keep up with her, no problem.
The problem you've got is you don't have much access to a 2-inch melee.
No.
And there are certain captains out there like Midas, who's a dick, and you can't get unpredictables away. Unless you put an influence on Philip with the ball to pass it away and dodge it. But even then, if you miss the pass, you're fucked. Just, Harry, I love him because he just walks up, brings Midas with him. Or brings Corsair with him because you don't want to be knocked away. That's why my love is to Harry, because he's a 2-inch melee, easy pushes and knockdowns.
Yeah.
Position people in front of Philip, it's impossible. It's horrible.
You found him a bit slow though, Russ. I've struggled to keep pace in some games.
I've kicked off with him before. I don't always kick off with Philip.
Oh.
Yeah, I feel it rarely kicks off sometimes. It's usually... I've kicked off with the pug, I mean Princess, to be fair. Just to throw them off, because at the end of the day, when they come up and they've hit your dog and they've got, ah, oh, only one success, one damage, like, cool. Everyone else gets plus one attack.
No, but I like that. Carries,
throw up the pitch either to kick off or first turn, put an influence on him, sprint him up, move him to set up with a Molotov and a cheeky goad if you can get it off. If not, he just sits there and goes, right, next turn, see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I guess, yeah, I've quite often used... I use Philip most, and then recently I've tried kicking off with Vet Ox a couple of times, just to mix things up a bit.
People say you kick off with, well, brisket is one to kick off with.
But
I don't play brisket enough to actually justify her, I don't think I have the right to talk about what she does for kicking off.
Right, so I used to do that. I used to go for like the brisket kickoff kind of thing. But seeing as I haven't played Butchers at all in season 3, right, you know, it kind of works. Because you've got this model sat there, and if Boiler's only job is to, like, you know, jog up and put Swift Stance on her, right, you know,
yeah,
right, then suddenly she's a complete bell end, right, you know, and she's just, and then, like, you know, she's like, oh, great. And if you've got Fillet on the pitch, right, you know, she can bounce her kind of, you know, she can make her faster, you know, and then suddenly you've got this 11-inch threat model. After she's been quick-footed, right, you know, who could be rocking like 6-1 against half the pitch.
Yeah.
Right, goes in, grabs the ball, thank you very much.
Momentous tackle one.
Yeah, yeah, you know, super shot. How do you like me now?
I like that.
You know,
I like a brisket kickoff.
Yeah, you know, but, yeah, like I say, you know, and conversely, you know, you've got Vet Brisket, you know, as well, right, you know, she can go quick time to give herself a 2-inch dodge and then get extra range. And she's got a momentous tackle and push, right, on 3.
Yeah.
Right, which, if you can hit that, you know, great. You know, as long as they haven't got it on, like, you know, somebody like Corsair, who's like, oh, I'm just going to fucking knock you down.
Yeah. Right, yeah, on charges, tack 9. Yeah, possible. Cool. Okay, good. Like that. I like the idea of the dog kickoff. That's really fucking interesting, because the whole idea of love creature on turn 1 would just be hilarious. And I like the brisket kickoff. This is good. So basically, this is another podcast of Max. Well, I generally kick off with Philip. That's my usual.
I played a game against Pete at the weekend, kicked off with Philip, got him into fast ground kind of thing, and then put 6 influence on a quick footer and then just charged her into his starting line. Within the first activation kind of thing, I think it was. Because she was in fast grounds, plus 2 movement, got into his starting line, it was scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fair.
Good. Yeah. Okay.
But then conversely, I've done that. I've gone for exactly the same tactic. And, like, you know, you whiff, like, one roll or something, and then suddenly she sat there with, like, 4 people around her going, oh, hello, love.
Oh, you don't mind that. Don't charge her into situations where you know she's going to die. Charge her into football teams, which you know just going to sit there and go, batter her for momentum. The rest of your team's going to move up, and that's what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, I think we're about done then, gents.
It feels like we've kind of reached a good conclusion to me. So, Well, thanks ever so much for your time, gentlemen. Thanks for your input, Russ. It's been a joy and a pleasure to have you with us. 5th best butcher player in the world here. So thank you for your time.
Guy. Hopefully there'll be
and he's quite, and he's quite pretty as well.
But push hats off now.
Mm-hmm.
What, as in off your bed or?
Bit of both. Bit of off the bed and then off her butcher's place.
Okay, cool. Good. Yeah, look forward to that. thanks for that. And thanks to our 2 usual gentlemen of Mark and Andy for your time and always valuable and exciting input. Mark, have you got some things to say?
Yeah, so we've got 2 tournaments that are currently bookings are open for. One is on the 29th of July at Young's Hobbies in Coventry, which our newest pundit Luke is running. It is currently got 8 tickets left, so you can find it on Facebook under Young's Summer Smackdown. Then we've got a 32-man on the 21st of October at Bravo, one in Birmingham, which has sold 18 of the 32 tickets so far, I think. And you can find that on Facebook as Bravo 1 Blitz 2.
Yep.
Then, other than that, it's find us on Facebook, which is The Heroic Play, on Twitter, which is at The Heroic Play. And you can email us if you really want to, which is theheroicplay@gmail.com, and obviously check out the website, which we should really sort of start working on some content for at some point, other than these podcasts that come out. I'm done.
I've got an article. Check me out.
Oh, well, check you out.
Yeah, brilliant. Terrain article.
Oh, cool.
I know. Andy, you're coming to this Wildstorm tournament, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
I feel like
Have you got a pass yet, or are you still...
No, it can't be there. But when is it?
You fucking suck so bad.
I know.
Right.
Long.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Hang on a minute.
The Wildstorm game is a great
August
game.
August bank holiday.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I went last year. It was brilliant. It's basically the battle. You know, everything that the guys do there for this is all about raising money for Macmillan Cancer through Wargamers All Against Cancer. You know, go check out more information on that on Facebook if you just put Wargamers All Against Cancer in. And also, if you're aware of Mini Musings of a Bear .wordpress.com, right? You know, there's also blog posts on there, because I think. But yeah, definitely a good tournament last year. I had a great time. It was a hilarious laugh. It's a 32 man tournament, but it's only 4 rounds, so that's good for me. So I won't get I won't die. But yeah, August 26th, Wildhammer. Go to that. It's going to be brilliant. Me and Dave are going to be there. Dave's going to be competitive, and I'm probably just going to flap about like a douche.
And just looking on the site now, it looks like there's still spaces. So so get that wild. It's called the Wildhammer Charity Cup.
Yeah.
£10. All proceeds spent go to Wargamers All Against Cancer. Good. So that's was in there the other day, and I promised Chris, who looks after the shop, that I'd mention it on the podcast. Because
and Chris is a great guy.
Chris really is
a lovely guy.
Really nice. Good. Okay.
Also, thank you to Red Beam Designs, who have sent us some lovely, lovely prize support, and you should go and check out them on Facebook, which is Red Beam Designs, and they do all sorts of funky widgets and things like the little model path movement stepper kind of things that are really good, and they do all sorts of widgets and stuff.
I bought some of those a month ago. They're really nice, and I bought their measuring sticks too, which are pretty good. One minor issue in that the 7-inch one, for example, ends at 6. It hasn't got a marking for 7. So
that's
because
the end.
But then when you're trying to pick up your stick quickly and you're looking for the 7, you have to remember that the one you want is the one that ends at 6.
Max.
Yeah.
I don't have that problem.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I think that's probably
okay. All right. That's it.
Good. Right. Thank you ever so much for your time, gentlemen. Been a pleasure. Yeah. Love you all too. And we'll see you soon for our next one of these of our Guide to the Guild. We'll work our way through them all.
Nice.
Bye.
Bye.
Say bye, Russ.
Bye.